Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Hello. Am I on? My mom. Whose mom brought them to church for the very first time? I think it's a lot of us. Yeah. Hey, I'm Chad. I'm one of the pastors here, if we haven't met. It's great to see you today. And what a great morning so far. This is going to be a hard act to follow, Peter and Madison. Thanks. You preached my sermon and took my material. We're going into a new series called Witnesses. And as you can tell, we're really excited about getting on board together to reach our friends and our family. Because as Pastor Madison and Pastor Peter were telling us, God's that good, right? And so we're excited to go into the series that leads up to Easter, where we're going to be just talking about what does it mean to be a faithful witness to Jesus. And it's good to be back in Canada. Our family was away for a couple weeks, and kind of randomly, we booked a holiday to go to Thailand, and Pastor Dave, at the same time, booked a missions trip to Thailand. So he made me look really bad. He's like, oh, I'm going to Thailand, but, you know, we're going to be serving Jesus there. Have fun in your hotel. So he sent me these pictures of, like, you know, him looking really weak and hungry with his Bible, you know, praying. No, he didn't. But he did send me some pictures from their trip, and his story checks out. He's on a missions trip. He's not relaxing on the beach. And that's my segue into how does our story check out? Witnesses make a story check out, you know? Whether you're on a in courtroom giving your testimony, whether you've seen a car accident, what makes a story credible? It's witnesses. Whether the scene of a car accident or, you know, a lot of us probably watch crime shows, and what you need to make a story credible are independent witnesses, right? Independent witnesses who probably vary on some of the details, but the core event is consistent. If it's too close, then it seems like maybe they've conspired to tell this story exactly the same way. The witnesses shouldn't have anything to gain from you believing their story. And if they have something to lose, it's even more credible. And basically, I'm describing the very first Christians who started telling the world about Jesus is they were independent witnesses of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. They didn't have a lot to gain. And in fact, most of them died because they went around the world sharing the story of Jesus. And they're are different kind of details in the way that Gospels are formed. If you've taken Pastor Dave's Gospels class, you know that that's okay to recognize that some of the details are arranged differently, but the core event is the same, that Jesus rose from the dead. That makes the story even more credible, doesn't it? So we're starting this new series, and it's built around the idea that followers of Jesus are all witnesses. Followers of Jesus are all witnesses, and of what he's done in history. We know the gospel story. We've heard it. It's affected our lives, and now we're sharing it with other people. And but one thing we really want to highlight in this is, you know, when we talk about witnessing and being evangelists and sharing our faith, can we just have a moment of real hardcore honesty here? How many of you feel an anxiety and dread? Just go. Do you feel anxiety when we're saying you need to share Jesus with your friends and family and your neighbors? I, as a teenager, felt so much anxiety because there's a lot of reasons for that. But we really want, in this series, to talk about the normalness and the ordinariness of being a faithful witness as a follower of Jesus. Really, this is not sexy and spectacular. Most of the time we share our faith, it's ordinary and natural. And so that's where we really want to go, that everyone here can be a witness of Jesus and what he's done in history, what he's doing in your life, and what our hope is for the future in a normal, holy, natural way. And Pastor Dave and the rest of our teaching team are going to be talking about different ways that we participate in witness. It's not all just verbal. That's a big part of it. But we partner in witness in prayer. When we partner with God in prayer, we're participating in witness. We pray for people. We partner in giving. how we share and participate in the mission together with our resources and our time, our hospitality. You know, we're talking about invitation and welcome. That's a way we participate in witness. Our holiness, how we live our lives, as well as our good deeds and how we love one another. And these are all things that everybody can do. And we do already, all the time. But what we want to do in this series is really highlight our intentionality in being faithful witnesses, in joining this heritage that's been passed down to us from the early Christians, of just passing this story on to the people around us, the next generation. And so we're going to start this series off in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 1, this is a very familiar passage to a lot of us. Let's just read Acts 1, verses 1 to 9 together. So this is the disciple Luke writing. He says, "In my first book, the Gospel of Luke, I told you, Theophilus," this is the friend he's writing to, "I told you about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" So Luke is writing about this time, this event, right after Jesus' death and resurrection. He had risen from the dead, and people all over had seen him teaching and eating and drinking and acting like an actual physical human being who is resurrected back to life. And he's reminding them that Jesus' last kind of commission to them was to stay in the city of Jerusalem. You know, their inclination would be to leave. The Romans and the Jewish leaders had just killed Jesus. They probably didn't want to stick around to find out how many more people they could kill. And so the disciples were probably nervous about what was going on. He says, "Don't leave, just stay here and wait for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to come and empower you to be my witnesses everywhere." And so as we read through the book of Acts, we know how that happened and how that played out. They did. They waited in Jerusalem. The Spirit came on them with tongues of fire, and they were filled with boldness to go and preach Jesus, to go and prophesy, to go and the tongue of fire, the Holy Spirit's presence in them released their tongue to share Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit fills us and gives us power and releases our tongue to share Jesus, to witness, to prophesy, to speak, to proclaim, to praise, all the things that the Holy Spirit gives us energy and strength to do in times where we feel weak. And so this is what happened. This is what's going on in this text. And so I want to highlight 3 points from this text that tries to set up the next few weeks of this series going in towards Easter. Is that, first of all followers of Jesus are witnesses. Secondly, it's the Holy Spirit who makes us effective as witnesses. And thirdly, that witnesses go where Jesus sends them. So first of all, everyone as a Jesus follower are witnesses. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Tell the neighbor beside you, "You will be Jesus' witness." Go ahead. No, nobody's doing it. So just say it. Somebody, you're going to be Jesus' witness. Encourage each other. You're going to be a witness. You are a witness. I guess it's better when Peter and Madison do this stuff, I guess. There's a really common phrase in the book of Acts. We are all witnesses. Acts 2, verse 32. The apostles are preaching. It says, "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it." Acts 5, 32. "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Acts 10, 39. "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. We are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses of these things. That gives the story credibility. I saw Jesus raised from the dead. You know this Jesus who was causing a stir, who the Romans killed? They killed him, but we saw him raised from the dead, and this word was going around. We're witnesses of these things. We saw it. We experienced it. It happened. It's done something to me. And this is what witnesses do. Everyone who is a witness of something has seen something, has experienced something that they're giving their perspective on. Whether you're standing at the scene of an accident, whether you're in court, you're like, this is what I've seen. This is what happened. This is my perspective. This is how it's unfolding. This is what happened. Everyone who follows Jesus is a witness, some kind of witness. And we want to be good witnesses. We want to be effective witnesses. We want to be Spirit-filled witnesses. But we all are. And we come from a heritage of witnesses. The apostles, they all ended up giving their lives because they were going into the world obedient to Jesus to share and proclaim the gospel. They all didn't, all of them, that was like the end of their lives, right? We all know the stories. The disciples all ended up being killed, martyred for Jesus. And that's our heritage. These people who believe something so much, so radically, that they were willing to die for it. And for those of you who have taken the Alpha course, you know that that's one of the first evenings that we talk about is how credible this story is because of how willingly people have gone to their death to be witnesses. Nobody's getting rich off of this story. Nobody's, in the early days, that is, sorry, there's a little bit of shysterness going on these days, but in the beginning of the story, there was no celebrity pastors who were milking the church for money. Sorry, getting off topic here. But you can tell that's a bit of a sore spot for me. In the early days, nobody was getting rich. Nobody was living the affluent life and 10 steps to Christian success and all this stuff. They were just getting killed. Serious. They were. They all died. We know all the stories of the Roman first in the first few centuries of the church, like under Nero, Christians were being persecuted. Such a credible testimony that people were willing to die to say, no, this happened. And Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. And that was a very contentious thing to do. And that's our heritage, a heritage of bold, courageous witnesses. The early church, the spread of Christianity throughout Western civilization, we're all beneficiaries of faithful witnesses. We're all sitting here today because of faithful witnesses who have gone before us. As the Apostle Paul says, we pass on what was received to us. You know, whenever we take communion together, which we're going to be doing a little bit later this morning, we all pass on what we received. We receive the gospel. We receive the story. We hear it. It's passed down to us. And we're all beneficiaries of this good news that God is alive and well, and he is reigning in creation, and he's redeeming all things, and he's making everything new, and he's making us new from the inside out. This is the story that we've inherited and what we are witnesses of, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the Christ, God in the flesh. And this is what the apostles would go around talking about preaching the gospel. They weren't talking about how Jesus makes your life better and how all this stuff, that we, all these books we have today. They were just telling the story. The early evangelists would say, the person that the Jewish nation has been waiting for, he's come. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He has come, God in the flesh. He died. He was buried. He rose again. God raised him from the dead, and he's ascended to heaven. Now he's Lord of all. And he's forgiven our sin. This is what they're saying. It's the story, this basic story. The gospel is a basic story that we testify to. This is something that happened in history. Secondly, we talk about the gospel that's in our story. We talk about all that we've seen. You know, we used to sing that song, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you." We don't see the kingdom of God. We don't see what Jesus has done. We don't experience Jesus with just our natural fleshly eyes and our natural like kind of like human faculties. God reveals something in us. The Holy Spirit awakens us to experience and see something new that we could not see before. There's a revelation. We can't just will our way into the kingdom of God. God speaks and something happens where we are awakened to hear and see and experience God. We have to exercise faith that that is God, and we join in this story. We go, I believe, I've seen, I've experienced, I know it's true because God spoke to me, or this person loved me, or I have this newfound affection that's growing in me because I've started attending church and it's just ministering to me, and I don't know what's going on, but it's something good and it's new. And I know there's many of us here today who have, this is your story, that you're looking for something bigger and better in your life. You're saying, I can't believe that this is all there is to life. There's got to be something more. There's got to be hope for my life, hope for the world. And something is happening in you that God is doing that is not a human endeavor. That's what we see. That's how we see God, is God doing something to awaken us, to show us his kingdom, his goodness, and his love. And so we all have seen something. Those of us who follow Jesus, we're not doing it because it's cool. We're doing it because we've seen something. Is that your story? Have you seen something of Jesus? Yeah? You've experienced something that you know that he's with you, that you know that this is a true event, and he's working in the world, walking in faith that this is all real. So we have something to share, like Pastor Madison said. What did she say? It was like, Jesus can change my life. Well, how come he can't change yours? It's as simple as that. I've seen something. Here's my testimony. It takes a lot of pressure off. I remember being a teenager in youth group in the 90s. And my youth group was really like, I think our youth pastor was really looking back into like a lot of like arts and drama, and so we did a lot of like fun like theater skits and games and stuff like that. And so that was sort of the ethos of my youth group, and I think that was sort of like maybe a thing in the 90s, like drimes and skits and dramas. And so that was sort of where we put our energy as like outreach events. And I kind of liked that stuff, but as soon as it was like, hey, let's go do this like in the neighborhood, I was like, you're kidding? Like, I love doing like theater games at our youth group. It's fun, right? But as soon as I was supposed to go into like the town parade and have a youth group float, and we're like dancing to Carmen songs, reaching out to the neighborhood, I'm like, I think I see my friends in the crowd, and I'm like hiding behind someone in front of me. I didn't want to do that. Like, it felt weird. It felt like, I just didn't like it, and I had a lot of anxiety about it. But I was maturing in my understanding of what it meant to be a witness. I was maturing as a follower of Jesus, of knowing that what is really needed is to experience and grow in my relationship with God, and just talk about that and share that. And I just remember having the word evangelism just made me feel really guilty. It made me feel really anxious. And a lot of it had to do with the way we talked about evangelism, and there was a lot of pressure put on us. And I'm going to talk about that in my next point, but what's God done in your life? Has he healed your body? Has he given you hope? Has he helped you through a really hard situation? Has he just given you ground to stand on? How has the gospel made a difference in your life? And it's as simple as that. Simple as that. You know, the word martyr is a Greek word, and it actually just means witness. The word martyr means witness. And we use that word now to talk about people who die for their faith. We think about the early Christians, they were martyred for their faith. They willingly gave up their lives for their religion, their faith. And there are many ways we point to Jesus. This is what we want to highlight in this series. Whether you're actually standing up to the face of some sort of evil power and giving your life, or giving your life in a different way by speaking up in a way that you have to die to your pride, or sharing in a way where you have to die to your own comforts or wants. There's a dying to ourself that comes when we share, when we courageously speak up, when we stand up. And a lot of us probably will never be called to give our lives to be witnesses of Jesus, but we are called currently to die to some aspect of our own comfort, our own dream of the good life, our own pride. And when we respond in obedience to Jesus to be a witness, the Holy Spirit expands our capacity to love, to hear his voice. It's just following him. And that's what we really want to lean into with this whole endeavor together, to reach out, to invite people to come to Easter Sunday, to come and be a part of what God's doing here. So we're just sharing what God has done in our lives. We live as living witnesses. Secondly, the main point here is that it's not just Chad going to save the world. You know, you don't have to save the world. I think when we go to youth group and we go to conferences and stuff, it's like, God wants you to change the world. And you're like, me? It's like, yeah, you can do it with God. You're going to change the world. And it's like, yeah, okay. And then you realize, like, 10 years later, you're like, I haven't changed the world yet, God. God isn't asking one of us to change the world. I think we set teenagers up for failure. We're like, hey, you go and you change the world. It's like, what about, like, following Jesus and sharing that life with just like the 25 people that I regularly interact with? Is that okay? Yes, because there's 500 of us here, and if we all share that with 25 of our closest people, that's a lot of people. I can't do the math off the top of my head. It's a lot of people, right? And it's the Holy Spirit who does it anyway. So, like I said, I was just in Thailand, and I got to visit, some of you know our good friends, Bo and Miranda. I forgot their last name because I'm standing up here. But Bo and Miranda, I want to share their story. And this is an example of what we're talking about here, okay? The different ways that we witness in unknowing ways through our lives. Bo and Miranda were on a journey. Bo had gone to youth group a bit growing up. Miranda, not so much. They're engaged, and they're thinking, there's got to be more to life. And there was a hunger in them for some spiritual kind of connection. And they really wanted to find God, find some meaning, find some purpose in life. They thought, what's the point of having kids? The world is so messed up. They felt like a bit of despair over just the condition of the world. And they were on a trip, and they love traveling. They're living in overseas now. They were on a trip, and I think it was in Hawaii. They saw this verse on the wall that the cafe owner had put up. It was from Philippians, and it was about whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is beautiful, whatever is good, think about these things. That really landed with them. They're like, oh, something in that verse lifted them to see something, a new horizon, a new perspective, and like, oh, that's a Bible verse. That sounds really good. That sounds beautiful and good. I want to be like that, you know? So anyway, that happens. They're living here in Abbotsford. We're having a men's barbecue on a Thursday evening out in the lobby here. And Bo and his friend happen to be buying some meat at Grassland Meats, where our friend Carl is awesome at selling meat. And he's so generous. He helps us with all of our events. Carl invites the guys to come to the barbecue. I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this, Carl, but here we go. Carl says, oh, what are you guys doing? We're having this thing at our church tonight. And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll go. So they show up, and they're here eating. And I recognize Bo because he used to come to youth group when I was a youth pastor like a million years ago. And I see him, and there's 100 people there. And I see him like, oh, so I'm doing the pastor thing and walking around talking to people like, hey, kissing babies and all that stuff. And he's like, oh, hey. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I remembered his name. I can't remember. I was just in Thailand with him, and I was trying to recall all the details of the story. Anyway, we remember seeing each other. And so we're like, hey, we're talking, we're connecting. I'm like, yeah, I just started working at this church. He's like, oh, wow, that's cool. Like, me and my fiance, we're kind of like thinking about going to church somewhere or something because they saw this sign in the cafe. I said, well, you should come. And he's like, yeah, okay. And in his mind, he's like, yeah, sometime I'll probably do that. But then I said, it's my first time preaching at the church here. You should come because I'm preaching. And he's like, oh. That little bit made him go, okay, we're going to come. So they come. They're sitting in here. Sophie Johnson was our interim children's pastor, and she gets up and she reads a passage at the beginning of the service from Philippians about whatever's good, whatever's beautiful, whatever's true, think about these things. And they're just like, whoa. And it happens to be a Kids Give Back Sunday. And the kids are all here. There's just so much good energy, and all these families and all these young people. And they're like, look at all these happy, beautiful families and kids. And they're like, maybe the world isn't such a bad place after all. Maybe we could have a family. And God's just doing something in them. I get up to preach. We were in some series on, I can't remember what the series was, but I preached on like anger and forgiveness. And they're going through this thing with their family, some friends where they're at odds and they needed reconciliation. And it just landed right with what they're going through. So they go home and they talk to their friends, they have reconciliation. All of these things, right? Where multiple people are just doing ordinary, faithful things. Carl invites them out. Somebody in Hawaii puts up a Bible verse on the wall in their cafe. Sophie prays about what she's going to share that morning. She gets up and shares a verse that the Spirit leads her to. The series that we're doing, I'm preaching something about that connects with where they're at. God arranges this thing where I recognize Bo, and I just say, hey, you should come. I baptized Bo and Miranda in our tank here. I dedicated their child. I married them. Guys, I'm not a hero. Carl's not a hero. He's great. Love you, Carl. Sophie, like, none of us are like the hero of the show. But what were we doing? We're just faithfully witnessing through sharing, through hospitality, through invitation, through prayer, through doing the little things that God has given us to do. And God, the Holy Spirit, is doing all the heavy lifting, doing all the work. What are we? We're just sharing what we've seen. We're just sharing what we've seen. God is good. He loves everyone. So, hey, I see this person. God, you love this person. I'm gonna love on them a bit. God does something in their heart. Guys, the fields are ripe for harvest. What does it take? It takes faithful witnesses. Faithful witnesses who just share. What have you seen? What have you received? What generosity from God? What good thing from God have you felt, experienced? Just give it back. Just give it back. Pay it forward. Luke said the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will give you power when he comes upon you. You know, we have this anxiety that we need to do something, or it's, I'm going to mess it up or whatever. But witnesses don't have much heavy lifting. Like, I've officiated a number of weddings, and it takes 5 people to pull off a wedding. Okay, 5 people. Yeah. Some people think they need like 400 people and $18,000. You only need 5 people. You need a groom and a bride, bride's mother. You need someone to officiate who's got credentials with the government, and 2 witnesses. Okay, those witnesses, they don't do anything. You know, have you stood for someone in a wedding before? What do you got to do? Maybe you're there supporting them and doing, maybe like moving the train of the dress around. You just show up and you're like, where do I stand? Okay. Okay. Here. Okay. Do, 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 do. Oh, here's a ring. Do, do, do. Where do I go? Oh, now I sign my signature and job done. You're done. You go home. All in a day's work, right? You're not like planning a wedding. You're not like making sure Aunt Frida and Uncle Tim aren't fighting. You just like, you're like just chilling, just having a good time, you know, going to the, you know, the different fun events, and you just sign your name. But that is so important because the wedding can't happen without those witnesses. You're just standing there saying, yeah, I saw this happen. I was there. I can testify. Right? It's the easiest part of a wedding. It's the same with witness. Jesus came to the earth and saved the world, and we just say, yeah, he did, and he's doing something in my life too, and it's really good. And you sign your name, right? It's There's no anxiety needed. And the Holy Spirit frees us from our anxiety. The Holy Spirit gives us courage. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness. The Holy Spirit shows us, like, you can open your mouth. You can lend a hand. You can pray. And it's just, it's a beautiful partnership. You can pray. You can invite. You can serve. You can bless. You can love. You never know when your ordinary and simple obedience is going to play a small but crucial part in God's big plan of redemption. You just never know. When you're standing in the lobby and greeting people, you don't know how that's going to land with somebody who's like, all right, I'll try church. All right. And you give them a big smile and welcome and like, hey, tell me, good to have you here. Is this your first time? You don't know. When your neighbors need something changed on their car, all the good deeds, all the holy living, all the way, we're just like a signpost pointing to a bigger and better reality, God's kingdom. And we just say, yeah, over here, it's this way. People see us, right? People see us, they watch us, they know what we're doing, and they go, is this a good path worth following? Yeah, I see that person. They seem like they're on a good path. They seem like their life has something to it. And God does some amazing things. So it's the Holy Spirit. He gives us power. When we intentionally like ask God, seek God, God, fill me, help me. I really want others to know you through me. That's a prayer God's going to answer every time. And God does it, and he does it well. So thirdly, witnesses go where Jesus sends them. Acts chapter 1:8 says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So these aren't just random places. These are concentric circles, right? So Jerusalem is sort of the hub, the starting point where Jesus died and rose again. Then we got a little bit broader to the region of Judea. Then we got even broader to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. These are concentric circles that Jesus is saying, you're going to start here, you're going to move out from there, you're going to move out from there, you're going to go here. It's going to spread from a center to the margins, to the farthest reaches of the world. Jesus is saying, your witness doesn't stay in your comfort zone. Your witness doesn't stay in your comfort zone. It starts there, but it doesn't stay there. It starts where you are, but it doesn't stay there. So Jerusalem is our immediate world. So we got challenged today by Peter and Madison to say, who are the people that God's asking you to pray for and invite? That's Jerusalem. That's the people that you are bumping into every day. Your family members, your coworkers, your people at your gym, your coffee shop. And if you're not a witness here, you won't suddenly become somewhere exotic. You know, if you go on a holiday to Mexico or Thailand, you won't immediately become like the greatest evangelist of all time. If you're not thinking about it at home, you know, that's where it starts. I once had a Bible college student tell me he felt called to be a famous worship leader around the world. That's so cute. That's so good. Like, oh, good for you. I can't imagine that is coming from anywhere other than just God's voice to you. We just start where we are in everything, right? We just start where we are. We be faithful where we are. And we start in Jerusalem. We just think, who are the people that I'm just around all the time? That lady at the gym that I see, she seems to be like interested in talking. We just pray for those people. Just love them. We encourage them. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't give us anxiety. The Holy Spirit gives us peace and comfort and strength. And so we just follow that peace and that comfort and that strength, and we just share. So who are those people? Who's the three to five people that God's already placed in your Jerusalem? You can make a short list this week. These are the people I'm going to pray for. Maybe you've already done that. Secondly, Judea, this is your expanding influence. This is your broader relational network of extended family, coworkers. Maybe you're part of some community groups or people that you know online. You might not see them daily, but your life still speaks to them. So I'm speaking to myself here too. So how do we come across to those people? You know, my wife always gets after me for talking to people online. It's like, why do you do that? You're just causing fights. I'm like, I just care about this. Anyway, so what's your tone online? What does it say about Jesus? Does your work ethic reflect integrity? Do your reactions look different from the world's? Witness is not only verbal, it's visible. We're a signpost. You're a signpost pointing a direction. People are looking at us. Samaria is more of an uncomfortable space. This is where it gets real. There's tension and division and difference here. There's people who maybe are in opposition to your faith, or people who disagree with you, or there's some sort of like discomfort here, whether it's political or theological or cultural. And Jesus says, I want you to be a witness there too. Not by winning arguments, not by overpowering, but by embodying Christ through the Holy Spirit. Witnesses are not concerned about being winners. Witnesses are not concerned about being winners. I think there's a big difference between when we think about winning the world for Jesus and being witnesses. You don't have to win in order to be a faithful witness. Does that make any sense? And when we think we have to win, we're going to dilute the spirit with which we're witnessing. Because a spirit of needing to win is not a spirit of advocacy or coming alongside and love, but it's a spirit of having to be over top of. It's a spirit of having to be in control in some way. Witnesses don't have anxiety about winning. We just faithfully witness. Because why? The Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting, and we just share what we've seen. We testify. We don't have to win arguments. We don't have to win anything. In fact, we probably will lose a lot of things in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of Jesus, he'll say, good and well done, good and faithful servant. It looked like you were losing, but I saw a bunch of winning happening because you were faithful. When people around you say, where's your God? What is this going on? Like, you don't look like you're winning at all. But you're being faithful. But you're following Jesus, and you're being a faithful witness by pointing to a kingdom greater than this world. Jesus will say, that looked like winning to me. And so we go to these uncomfortable spaces, and we love, we suffer. We don't just expect to come out on top. We just faithfully witness. We just faithfully serve. We just faithfully love. Whether it's a family member that you butt heads with, you don't have to win. Jesus is not asking you to win arguments with that family member. Jesus is saying, be a faithful witness. You've experienced forgiveness from me? Forgive. You've experienced grace from me? Show grace. You don't have to come out on top. In fact, you might end up on the bottom, but in Jesus' economy, that's coming out on top. Because you're going to show them what the kingdom of heaven truly looks like and how it truly operates. And one day, when Jesus appears, they might recognize him for that sake. I want to live my life in such a way that when Jesus appears, people recognize him because they saw him in me. When Jesus comes back one day, they'll go, I know who this is. I saw a reflection of him at the people in that church. It wasn't clear to me. I had an idea of it, but now I know that's who it is. And I don't doubt that God is gracious enough to go, yeah, you were on a journey. You recognized me when I came, so I'm going to take you with me. Jesus is asking us to represent him in this world so that others can receive him when he comes. Can we do that? With the Holy Spirit's help, we can. He's not asking us to dominate. He's asking us to serve. He's asking us to come up under the pain and the brokenness of the creation and say, there is a healer, there is a God who's going to make all things new. He's here now, he's coming, and we are a part of this new creation now with the Holy Spirit's help. He's making all things new. And we can point the way, guys. We can point the way. Just take sharing, being faithful witnesses. So if we're sitting here today, it's because somebody, probably many people, were witnesses. Let's be those people for the next generation. Let's be those people for the next 50 years, the next 100 years, who go, I saw God at work in these people's lives. I heard a message that changed my life. And now I'm part of this whole new thing. I believe it's going to happen, guys. It's happening. And God wants us to be part of it. So would you stand? We're gonna close in a word of prayer, but we're going to go into a time of communion, okay? Travis and the band are going to just begin to worship. Pastor Peter is going to come and lead us in communion, but I just want to pray a prayer of commission as we take on this endeavor together. Jesus, we thank you that you have done the heavy lifting, that you call us to be witnesses of a kingdom that's much greater and bigger than what we see with our eyes. Help us. We need your help today. Fill us with your Spirit. And as we remember your life and your death in communion today, Lord, we just pray you'd fill us with your Spirit. Forgive our sin and lead us, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the APA podcast. We hope it helps you better follow Jesus in your home, city, and around the world.